Okay, today we're going to be discussing the topic of eating milk and meat at the same table, having basar and chalav at the same table. This is something Yaakov asked us a couple of days ago, and it's something that comes up all the time in school, comes up in camp, it comes up later on in life when you get to a business office in the break room. All the time, what do you do when you have your milchiks and your friend has his fleishiks at the same table? How do you go about that? So this all comes up in Simon Peches in Yoredeya. And it's really based on a Mishnah in Chulin Daf Kuf Gemo Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us the following. The Mishnah says, Ha'of ole im ha'gvina. Excuse me. Looked at the wrong Mishnah. My notes here. Kol ha'basar asar levashal b'chalav chutz mi basar dagim v'chagavim. All meat is forbidden to be cooked with milk, with the exception of the meat of fish and grasshoppers. And the Mishnah says, not only is it asar to cook, v'asar l'ha'alos im ha'gvina al ha'shochan. Not only is it asar to cook, but you are not allowed to serve it with milk at the table. So you're not just not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, but you're also not allowed to serve basar and chalav at the same table. Why is that so? So Rashi, Dibur Maschil v'Asar l'Halos, tells us that we're concerned that Reuven's food is going to touch Shimon's food, and there's going to be a transference of blios, meaning the flavor, the tam of each food is going to transfer from one to the other, and it's going to be a problem of eating those two together. Right? Parenthetically, this is only a problem, right? There can only be this transfer of blios, of tam, of taste, if there's heat involved. Meaning if the foods are hot. If the foods are cold, there's not really such an issue. Okay, that's important for nafkaminas. But let's just get the facts down first. What's the reason that there's an isser, or a gzera, let's say, to not serve milk and meat together at the same table? So Rashi says we're concerned that they're going to touch and absorb flavor from one to another. Fine. The Torah and others say, no, we're just simply concerned that you're going to eat them together. So it seems to be pretty clear cut. You're not allowed to serve milk and meat together at the same table. Fine. What about, or what else does this apply to? So if you take a look in Simon Peches, the Shach comments there and says that although you're not allowed to serve basar and chalav on the same table, so you are allowed to serve, not, or you're allowed to be at a table with your milchiks when a non-Jewish coworker, let's say, has his non-kosher meat at the same table. Why is this so? Because the whole concern of serving basar and chalav together is we're concerned you're going to eat them together. But if you know that the food that the other person, the fleishiks that the other person is eating is mamish not kosher, so there's no chishash. Right? In other words, the Shach is only concerned, or he explains, Chazal is only concerned that when the milk and meat are both independently mutter, so then we're concerned that you're going to go ahead and eat it. But if something is mamish asr, it's totally treif, so then there's no chashash, there's no issue, there's no concern that you're going to go ahead and eat from that person's food. So based on this, the Shach says it's mutter for you to take your, cream cheese sandwich and eat at the same table with your non-Jewish coworker who's having pork. Just parenthetically, it's a little bit related. I did the Smichas Chavar program. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. Rabbi Kraft does it in Linkwood. It's really all over the world. But they had a little limud over Shavuos. The limud was this siman, actually, siman Peches and Peites. And they quoted, if you take a look in the Shach that we just quoted a second ago, the Shach actually relates this question about eating at the same table with someone who's eating not kosher to Pesach. Because if you're eating your kosher lePesach food at a table, are you allowed to sit at the same table with a non-Jew who's eating chametz? So how does this relate? We just said you're allowed to sit at the same table, someone who's not kosher. So for all intents and purposes, on Pesach, chametz is not kosher. Right? So food that's mamish asr, like we said, treif, can be eaten at the same table as someone who's eating kosher food. So why can't you eat your matzah on the same table as someone who's eating chametz? All chametz on Pesach is independently asr. So the Shach explains that when it comes to chametz, we're extra, extra machmir, we're super careful, because every single tiny little crumb is a problem. Nothing is bata when it comes to chametz. And we're concerned that one tiny crumb of chametz can fall into your food and lead to serious issues. So when it comes to Pesach, there is this special, I would say, concern. Okay, fine. So how do we get around the issue? Or let's say like this. How can you sit at the same lunch table in school with someone else? You have your piece of pizza and another person has his burger, popcorn, chicken from Great Chicago or Ken's, whatever it may be. What do you do? So in Sif Beis, the Mechaber says the following. But really, it comes from a Gemara, let's say, in Chulin Kuf Zayin Mabez. The Gemara tells us, Kuf Zayin Amabez 107b, that two people, Shtei Ach Sanam, Shinis Archu Lepundak Echa, two people who are you know, sitting or visiting the same motel or the same restaurant, basically. Echad zeba min atzafon v'zeba min adarom. One guy comes from the north, one guy comes from the south. Zeba b'chatichasa, this guy comes with his piece of flesh. V'zeba b'gvinasa, and this guy comes with his milchiks, his cheese. Ochlin al shulchan echad zebasa v'zegvina v'ein choshishin. So they're allowed to eat at the same table, and there are no problems. V'ein choshishin, we're not concerned. V'lo asru ela b'tfisa achas. There's only going to be an isser if it's bitfisa achas, when their food are in the same package or bundled together. So the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Right? If they're in the same bundle, they're going to be touching each other, and then they're going to be mixing, and the milchis and fleshes are all going to be mixed up. That's obviously a problem. So the Gemara says, no, it's ke'in tfisa achas. Meaning, when it's similar to one bundle. So what does that mean? So when there's nothing that's separating the two of them. Right, or nothing that's separating the two foods. When the two people know each other and they're eating together and there's nothing separating the two of them, or nothing that's making a demarcation or distinction between their two meals or their two plates, so then that is going to be a problem, because again, we're concerned that they're either the foods are going to touch or that they're going to eat from the other person's, right? So basically what we're saying is that you need some sort of separation or distinction between the two people and their foods. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Aser lehalos v'al shulchan dafka b'shnei bnei adam hamakirim zezeh." This is only true if they know each other. Afilu he makpidim zelzeh. Right. So two people who know each other, if they're friendly, they know who one another is. So you're not allowed to eat together with your basar and his chalav on the same table. Again, even if they're makpid, I guess we would call that someone being a germy. You don't want to share food. Doesn't matter. However, aval achsanaim, right? These aren't makirim. These are just two guests who happen to be in the same hotel. She'in makirim zed zem mutter. They're allowed to eat at the same table. So again, it seems to be the distinction the mechaber is making is if you know the other person, so then it's going to be a problem. If you do not know the other person, then it's not a problem at all. Right? Just to add, the shach points out that when it means to be makir, to know the other person, so it means she'inam misbaishim zemizevi yochal kol echad mechaviro. If you're going to be sharing foods and everyone's, you know, passing around, sharing, oh, here, take a fry, take a piece of chicken, take this, take that, then that's going to be a problem. And you need some sort of hecker. Says the mechaber, v'afilo hamakirin, right? So again, even if your buddies and your friends are going to be sharing food, im asu shum hecker, if you make some sort of, you know, separation between the two, or distinction, kigon, he's going to explain, shekol echer ochel al mapa shelo, you have your own little placemat. Afilu ochlim al mapa achas, v'nosin b'nehim pas lehekera mutter. As long as you put something between the two, that is going to be a sufficient heker. This is based on Tosfos, again, on Daf Kuf Zayin Mabez, who tells us two different things. Something that's mafsik, v'im yesh davar mafsik lo heve ke'in tfisa achas, as long as you have something that separates the two. Or he says something that's tall, di'ika gova beni ubeni. So again, a placemat under your food, or some sort of object that you can put between the two that would be a sufficient heker. The mechaber said, right, v'nosim benehim pas lehekira mutter, putting a loaf of bread in between the two would be a sufficient heker. The Ramah doesn't like this though, because he says, or not that he doesn't like it, but you have to qualify. He says it's only true if you don't eat from that loaf of bread. Because if they're both eating from it, so that means that they normally have bread on the table. And if you normally have bread on the table, so it's not unusual. It's not going to remind you that you shouldn't be eating and sharing food with one another. However, as long as you put something that is not normally placed on the table, im nasnu beinehim, says the Rama, kli sheshosin imenu. You can have a pitcher that we're both mamish drinking from, or share, you know, we're pouring into our own personal cups. Right? If this pitcher is not normally on the table, so again, even if we're both drinking from it, we're using this pitcher of water or pitcher of whatever it is, so that is a sufficient heker. Or says the Ramah, you can put some sort of menorah or candelabra, whatever it means. I know it's probably not so common to do in school. You put two nice little candles on the table, I don't know, something like that. That would be a sufficient heker as well to be mafsik between the milchiks and the fleshiks. Again, the whole point is to make sure that we're not going to be sharing or touching, you know, our food won't be touching, we're not going to be sharing food with one another. I don't know if maybe even if we don't normally place our laptops on the table in between our plates, or we don't put our textbooks or our notebooks, things like that. Maybe that would be even a sufficient hecker, putting your book bag, your knapsack. You guys make fun of me when I say that. You put your book bag on the table between you and your friends. So that might also be a sufficient hecker as well. Another important nikuda is that the hecker should really be between the two of you. It should not be at the side of the table. The whole purpose, again, is to make sure that it's going to be between the two of you. It'll be noticeable. It has to be, again, like Tosa said, a sufficient height that you can clearly tell that this is there to prevent us from sharing food. Two exceptions, meaning even without a hecker, this could be okay. The Pischei Tshuva says, number one, if you're sitting very far away from the other person, right? So that means your foods aren't going to be touching one another. And, or I should say, you're not going to be sharing food with the other person, so that would be a sufficient hecker. That's what the Pischei Tshuva says. And the Pischei Tshuva also says that if you're at a meal with lots of people, meaning it's not just you and one other buddy, but you're sitting at the lunch table with a bunch of chevra. So you have your pizza, other people have their chicken or their burgers from Great Chicago or Ken's, like we said. So even without a physical hecker, so to speak, with everyone there, the Pischei Tshuva says that that's sufficient to be a halachic hecker, because if you're eating your pizza and then you reach for a piece of chicken, everyone at the table will be like, buddy, what are you doing? You can't do that. So that would be a sufficient hecker. So again, the Pischei Tshuva says two non-hecker heckers, let's call it. Number one, sitting very far apart from the other person. And number two, if there are a bunch of chevra at the meal as well. Just the last nikuda we'll mention from the Rama, and that's the following. The Rama says this isn't really so shayach to school, but it's nice to note. You know how some people at their Shabbos table have not just a salt shaker, but a little salt dish. It's like a little bowl where you pinch the salt, right? So not everybody pinches the salt. Sometimes people dip it mamish in that little kli. So that might be a problem. And says the Rama that you should really have two separate ones for milchiks and flasiks. So the problem is, the Rama says, v'nish'aru shiurei maichu b'melach. We're concerned that there's going to be a little leftover remnant food in the salt dish, and because of that, you should have one for milchiks and one for flasiks. The poskim say, when it comes to actual salt shakers, most of them are mekel. You don't need to have a separate salt shaker for milchiks and flasiks, but that is a little bit to do with having milk and meat on the table at the same time.